World Service presents.
This is London.
Heavens down on a hat-trick from this pavilion end at Lord's. It's been an electrifying spell of pace bowling. The last batsman, Mundy, yet to get the mark. Evans is in over the wicket. Oh, he's bowled in. Middle stump is cut and scarlet. England in the Ashes, 5-0.
Mile and a half on a bus takes a long time. The odour of all prison food takes a long time to pass you by.
Great tackle by Moore. Bobby Moore. Forward to Brookie. Brookie picks out Gascoigne. Gascoigne now through the middle. He spots a great run of Evans, who uses that trademark pace and power. Evans has passed one. He's passed two. Through the Australian keeper Mundy now. Wow! And a stunning strike from Evans makes it England 10. Australia 0.
Hunger and silence from you is a giveaway. Squalor and smoke snatch a style. I don't like this place. We better go.
49.
Now four match points. Although it's been a fairly one-sided final, and slightly marred by Mundy being fined by the match referee for unsporting conduct, this centre court crowd are enjoying a masterclass. He serves, and that's it! Evans dropped to his knees, he's Wimbledon champion. Up in the royal box, the Queen and Meghan Markle are literally weeping tears of joy.
Great moments in sport.
Yes, Paul, well done. I mean, only you used your talents for good, not evil. You could go a long, long way in this world.
Well, I've just been feeling a bit down. We had a sort of bit of a rough winter in the cricket down under, so I just thought, you know, I'd whip something up and put myself in a bit of that mood. Where are we?
We're in Tenerife, Los Americas, on the southern coast of Tenerife. Just had a few pretty sick surfing sessions out the front. Man-on-man heats. It's sunny. It's hot. It's waves are pumping. And we're doing the podcast on location.
On location podcast. We've done London's fashionable southeast suburb of Peckham Rye. We've done Capbreton, southwest France, surfing hotbed. We've done Azores, mid-Atlantic ridge, volcanoes. Now we're here in beautiful sunny Tenerife with hooligans and the various undesirables of Northern Europe. Let's get on with the show.
The Surf Europe Podcast.
Oh, that's good. No, that's good. Ben, what's been?
Good. Well, this is back to the Tenerifean vibe. Me and you, Paul, went for a little surf out the front after the competition. There's a surf school next door, just hired a few softboards. You know, we're the type of guys, we don't need the new equipment, we don't need to prove ourselves, we've just got a couple of softboards, paddled out. But well, I was put it on the leg rope. First I noticed that the board was a Phil McDonald shaped Ocean and Earth number. Phil McDonald, you might remember, former number four in the world, made the final at Trestles, famously got ripped off when they overscored Kelly Slater, but no need to go into that. And then I looked at the leg rope. And we went to put the leg rope in. You had the same board. You couldn't even actually see where the plug was, which was a bit embarrassing. But then I only got the leg rope. And you know, usually you get your leg rope string or leash string. You put it under the little silver bar. And sometimes you can't get it through. You can't feed it through.
Use a fin key maybe to poke it through.
Yeah, you got a fin key or a stick. Sometimes a stick breaks. Mm. You're often in a hurry. You're stressing out. You can't do it. On this leg rope, this on the, attached to the string is a tiny little bit of rubber kind of stiff material, and you just grab that and pull it through as easy as piss. And just when you thought surf technology had stalled, now interestingly enough, now I think it was Ant Macker that claims that he was the guy that invented the attached leg rope string to the leg rope about 15 years ago, and that's what I think that was the last time there was any type of evolution in leg rope technology, and I've been keeping abreast of it, and there you go, bang. So just when you think it couldn't evolve any further. Paul, have you got anything else that is?
Yeah, World Surf League Tour changes. I was a bit worried. We all saw that one article and it said what was happening in the QS season was going to get condensed down to the end of the year. And I thought, oh no, what's happened to our sort of, our little kind of honeypot of like low ranked kind of qualifying events? That's going to be Terps and Ronnie and all the boys are going to be doing them. Like we're done. No more commentary gigs. Don't worry, Surf World. We're still on. The QS is going to carry on throughout the year. They're just going to pack loads of 10,000 towards the end. Who cares about 10,000? Wow. But anyway, so yeah, don't worry. There'll still be like a 1,000 held in a lake somewhere. and a sort of QS500, and we'll be doing commentary. So yeah, it's all kind of staying the same. The Pipe Masters is going to swap with the Volcom Pipe Pro QS. So CT was beginning of the year and QS at the end. And France is still going to be happening. It's just happened earlier in the year. Might not be official, but oops, I said it now.
There you go.
It's going to be around about May time. Portugal will be even earlier than that, which I don't think is news. But anyway, yeah, the tour changes look great, and I think we're still sweet for some very low-ranking commentary gigs with not that many people online.
Well, fun fact, I was talking to Ronnie Blakey, the WSL chief head of commentary, captain of the commentary team, and he's a big Surf Europe podcast fan.
Ronnie.
And so I said we're coming for you. And he said, his exact line was to me, he wrote back and went, "Run at me." So he's obviously shitting himself.
Ben, what else have you got that's...
Well, I keep coming back to my little week here. I'm so sort of immersed in the Tenerifean vibes.
You keep talking, I'm just going to get beers out the fridge.
Oh, good boy. We went for a surf just then. It was a south swell. It was like 3-4 foot. And it's a pretty well-known left out the front. Spanish left. And last time I was in this part of the world, it was about 20 years ago. And my overriding memory was... being surrounded by 20 bodyboarders who were all kicking me, hear that sound, they're all kicking me in the face with their flippers, which is a humiliating experience, and it was a general sort of aggressive vibe. But this week, I know we're already here in a conference, a bit different, but all the locals have been super cool, at the surf schools have been hiring us boards, have been super friendly, the vibe's been great, and just paddled out there and we had a surf, and the last wave, this grommet goes, "Oh, no, mate, you go. This is yours." And I just thought, well, you know, I know my expectations were low, but I even hooted a Brazilian. I actually hooted him. Usually I see you in one of those Mormay wetsuits and I kind of get the shivers. I get a cold kind of shiver down the spine. But no, I hooted and I was just nice to every now and again, you know, once and now and again, to have your expectations about a bit of a vibe change. And I felt the good vibes and I thought that was good, Paul.
Great.
Paul. Have you got anything else that's...
Yep, winter breaks. It's been pretty hard winter in Europe, isn't it, this year? Minging, loads of rain. It rained, started raining on Boxing Day in France and basically rained every day for 3 weeks, non-stop. It's been huge, raging on shore.
Really, except for this week when you would have been down here. Well,
I'm coming on to that. But yeah, it's been like loads of plastic on the beach, just horrible, just minging. So anyway, winter break. Just a short hop away, Canary Islands. So I'm surfing in boardies because I'm hard and a top. Duck diving with your eyes open, clear water, quick session. Don't even really care if you get any waves because you're in shorts. Come in, very reasonably priced cold beer. A bit of banter with the sort of friendly waiters and waitresses. Meeting people from all around Europe. For example, Greenland. We met a sort of an Inuit Dane girl from Greenland. She's checking out the surf vibe. Called BB, which is just cool, coming to Canary Islands in the middle of winter and having a little bit of summer. Yes, please.
Fuck this tour, fuck the ASP.
Ben, what have we got that's...
I want one of those people I can only see what's right in front of me, and I'm still back in the Tenerifean vibe, but this competition, which has been great, a 1500 event, loads of great surfers, but...
Good commentary.
There's been some... The webcast's been incredible. There's been some of the entrants, though, especially in the earlier rounds. I mean... Now, I don't give a flying fuck if you're the Norwegian junior champion or you've won the Belgium Nationals 5 times. Some of these guys are just not up to standard. And I'm just kind of thinking, you know how good a surf you are. Like, when I paddle out today, you kind of... There's a good guys, there's a medium guys, there's a bad guys. You kind of
and then,
know...
And then there's you.
And then there's me. Yeah. I kind of know where I stand. I don't really care, but, you know, you know how to evaluate your own surfing. So how on earth can these guys... We're paddling out against like guys like Goni Zubizarreta or fucking Jorgen Kuzne, like absolute fucking world class. Like Kuzne almost qualified last year for the CT, and he's up against a fucking Norwegian guy that can't even stand up. And I'm just thinking, just have a bit of friggin' self awareness. So just look yourself in the eye. Go back to the local board riders. Go back to the Norway Championships. Enjoy yourself. But I don't think there's a spot for it in the elite level of competition. That's fucking my rant, Paul.
That's harsh.
I'll stand by it.
Do you not remember that eel guy that did the Olympics from Gambia or Ghana or something? I like those sort of things.
Eric the eel.
Yeah, I like those stories. That's cool.
Yeah. A Mozambican guy, like, coming eighth in the heat because 3 minutes behind is kind of a good story. A Norwegian guy...
we didn't have to commentate on it. So,
yeah, yeah, and a Norwegian guy or fucking whatever, dude from Brussels getting 8 2.5s in a heat, it's a different story.
Okay.
Paul, have you got anything else that's...
I haven't got anything bad. I've got something that's fucking atrocious, Ben. Connor Coffin's sort of PR department. He's had a nightmare. Connor Coffin, just let's just cast our minds back 3 or 4 years. He's this young, upcoming, like, rad dude. Like, a real nice guy as well from what I've seen. And I've met his dad and his brother in Portugal. And they're all, like, just legends. They're, like, classic people. Anyway, just picture his image a few years ago. He's got that classic sort of rail turn. Jay Bay just ripping. Everyone likes a good carved power surfer, don't they? And brilliant. Cool looking dude. Funny. Like, and just absolutely ripping. Fast forward to now, what the actual shit is going on? I don't know who's advising him on, like, image, but whoever it is, they should be shot at dawn. First of all, he's sort of going the kind of the hairy chest with the gold chain vibe, which I don't know if Mason Ho's sort of angry, but if I was Mason, I'd be saying, Connor, don't fucking come back to Hawaii, mate. You don't try and bite my hairy chest with gold chain vibe.
Italo Ferreira.
Yeah,
but, okay, he must have a word.
So first slight, okay, but just about palate that. He can't help having a hairy chest. He can help putting a chain on, but whatever. Okay, fair enough. Everyone's allowed to fuck up. Have you seen the fucking acoustic guitar straight into the camera on Facebook?
I have.
Well, why don't we... I tell you what, just in case you haven't, let's listen to a bit.
Things that you want to...
Yeah, so there you go. And
wild horses.
And also, you can see the face that's sort of pulling. Like,
not drag me away.
Just know, look, you're an amazing surfer, Connor. Sort of singer, guitar playing guy. Not so much. Maybe just keep it to yourself, or better yet, sell the thing, or smash it up and do something else instead. Ben, what else have you got that's bad?
Now, I'm not one to plug other surf podcasts. Because obviously,
now. Take it easy.
Obviously, we've got the premier fucking podcast in the world. But I did be lured into listening to a recent one. I think it was on that Surf Splendor Network, which is the podcast. And there was a guest appearance between Chad Smith from Beach Grit fame. He also wrote a book on the Hawaii. What was that called again?
Welcome to Paradise, now go to hell.
That's
the one that I'm in. You mean the one that I'm in many times?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We know Chaz. We've hung out with him. We like him. But he's on the podcast, and it's up against Ashton Goggins, who's the new editor of Stab. Stab and Beach Grit have been having a fucking pissy feud for about a year, about not much at all. Anyway, they get on, and they're both, from what I can gather, just trying to see who can be the biggest American dick. Hmm. And it's a really close-run thing.
It's a close heat.
Chaz brings up, like, Norman Mailer as if that's some type of relevance to surf journalism. Goggins is going on at one stage about good advertorial. And I'm just thinking, just fucking shut up. This is not of any interest to anyone. And then...
Yeah, you should be talking about Connor Coffin's hairy chest, for example. Yeah,
pick your target.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I think Chaz does win the heat of the cock-off when he physically attacks Goggins and tries to throttle him. And some of the, we might even put up the audio if Paul, you'll get it, you can do all that sort of shit, where Chaz Smith says, gives him a few warnings. And it's laughable, and it's just bad.
Don't threaten me when we're talking about this stuff.
I will fuck you up, Ashton. Don't say one more thing about that. Just shut your mouth right now, Ashton. I'm warning you. This is your last warning.
Don't talk about that with me, dude.
Do not talk about my wife again.
It's just, no one comes out of it good. I don't even come out of it good now talking about it. But yeah, check it out if you want to see something fucking terrible. If not, just check out webcasts. Paul.
Yes.
Have you got anything else that...
Yes. Tenerife. Minging Brits. Absolute disgrace.
Mate, I'm with you on this 100%.
I am surprised, given the sort of state of the people that come here on holiday, that rather than the Brits voted out of the European Union didn't fucking just expel us. basically just all votes out and just say, you lot are wrong.
I mean, with you on this,
it's fucking horrible.
But here's when you're out in the surf, you look around. I mean, it's the most stunning place you can imagine. There's just the mountains. There's a fucking snow-capped volcano 4,000 metres high in the middle of it. There's rainbows, and then...
There's ospreys flying by.
You just hop on land, and it's just the seediest, ugliest, stupidest, silliest, filthiest fucking tourist trap. And it's you pommy fuckers, mate.
Mm.
Your
mostly.
Culture.
Three-quarters Brits.
Yeah. Sorry, this is your bad. I'm just...
Yeah, no.
I'm jumping,
go ahead.
On the back of it.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, a bit... Bit depressing, but whatever, it is what it is. I knew it was like that, and I just want to nuance that slightly. Another thing, which I would say below average, is the locals' advice around here, and because the locals have been super cool, but they're not very good at giving advice. And I'll just explain what I mean. I talked to Jonathan Gonzalez,
legend,
Tenerife Ledge, obviously, like the local hero from this island, comes from like 5 minutes up the coast. And like last night, kind of finished or whatever, or like having a little power. I was like, well, Johnny, what do you reckon? Where's good to go out? Like, you know, because like, everywhere around here, it's just awful. There's like seedy little weird bars. Like, where's the spot just to go for quiet beer? You know, nothing. And he's like, oh, everywhere. I was like, yeah, but not really everywhere though. Like, you know, everywhere I've seen is terrible. Where's good? He's like, just start drinking. So, okay. Shit advice, fair enough. I thought maybe it's just a one-off. But also, we noticed there's that surf school right next to the event site. And there's some, like, German, I guess, woman, was it? That'd never seen the ocean before. And she was looking at sort of a real mossy, but also sharp sort of lava reef.
Yeah.
Sort of jagged, with massive holes in it, sort of anvil-like outcrop. And she's like...
And packed with, like, 20 of Europe's best surfers, QS surfers.
And she's like, it looks quite dangerous here. Where do I go? And they're just like, anywhere.
Just go out.
And she's like, really? It looks very sharp onto lava. And they're like, yeah, just go anywhere. Like, really? Sort of, is that good advice? And they're the people like renting out balls and doing lessons. It's like, it wasn't just a couple of street drunks like wanting giggles. Yeah, they were like sort of people semi in charge of safety. But anyway, so crap at advice, but great for other stuff. And the Brits suck.
On a podcast, surfing pitlugu, in my backpack.
Okay, Ben, it's time to get serious now. I've had our fun podcast mastermind. You are the reigning champ from last week. Do you want to go? Do you want to receive or give?
I'll receive.
Okay, so you're still on the Triple Crown. Well, it's called the Vans Triple Crown of Seven, but it hasn't always been. Five questions on the Triple Crown of Surfing starts... Now, who won the Triple Crown Surfing in 1996?
Michael Ramelsi.
He's incorrect. Kaipo Hakias from Kauai. Also...
He's won it twice.
First surfer from an outer island to win. Okay. Which two surfers have won Triple Crown events at all three venues? Gonna have
Say
to hurry.
Say again.
So two surfers, male surfers, I'll narrow it down for you. Have won at all three venues.
Shel Perez.
It's
a yes. I know it is.
Has he won the Triple Crown?
Yes. He won it.
Oh, okay. No, but anyway, is that okay? One of your guesses. No, so for half a point, so you can get the other one.
Mark Richards.
That's Derek Ho and Andy Innes. Question.
Right, and Shel Perez.
Nope. Incorrect. Look it up afterwards. We've got to move
on. You forgot your one pipe 2 years ago.
We've got to move on. Julian.
Bullshit.
Julian Wilson won.
30 shoulder.
Won in 2014. Mm. Yeah? Winner. Yeah. Classic Wilson. What did he get sunset that year?
What do you mean, what did he get?
Well, what result did he get?
I will
have to hurry you, I'm afraid.
He got through the round of 64.
No, he got equal 13th.
Rez.
And you're 0 from 3.
That might be the round of 64, I think.
Okay, you already mentioned Mike Ramelsi. We mentioned him a few times last time. He's got a lot of... It's probably his biggest podcast sort of love ever in podcast history.
Put the hand on him.
Classic Ramelsi.
Yeah.
Is it Ramelsi or Ramels?
Ramelsi.
Okay. Rommel, the Desert Fox. He won in 97.
Well, I was 1 year off at the
Cairo. What did he get... What did he get a Halle E for that year?
These questions are fucking ridiculous.
What? He's only won it once. Come out of today's results. Your fellow country, one of your favourite surfers.
You're asking what result he got in a contest in 1997? Not.
Yeah.
Quarterfinals.
No. He got fifth. Which means he made the semis in the four man heat. Okay. Let's wrap it up. So you're 0-4. Let's see if you can salvage a slight, tiny modicum of respect. Let's talk about Gary Kong Elkerton from Mooloolaba, Sunshine Coast, Australia. Kong Elko. Which 2 years did Gary Elkerton win the Triple Crown of Surfing for a point? Half point for each.
Pipe. So that was 85.
Okay, so that's one of your answers, and the other one is
you want sunset 1990.
Okay, so you're 0-5. It's 87 and 89.
Close.
You're shit, and you know you are. Okay.
Okay, so your subject that you've put up for this fucking quiz that I'm not a big fan of is Lord Ted Deerhurst, the British professional surfer. Okay, first question. What title did Ted Deerhurst's father have? He was an English gent.
The Earl of Coventry.
Yes, that's true. This is not a question, just a bonus. Which particular Earl of Coventry was he?
What was his dad?
Yeah.
The 11th.
That's correct as well. That's funny. At what event did Ted Deerhurst achieve his best ever result?
Sunset.
At what event?
Smirnoff at Sunset.
That's correct. What British politician was his idol?
Winston Churchill, who incidentally was a bit of a dick. I'm not a big fan of Churchill at all.
Let's not talk about Gallipoli, okay? Don't start me on Churchill, alright? What was the name of the boards that he shaped for himself?
Excalibur.
It's true.
4-4, Evans. Could this be a clean sweep for Evans? Classic Evans.
God, I'm running. Oh no. Okay. We mentioned the Smirnoff best ever result semi final. What year was that?
Deerhurst. If I was American, I'd say, I want to say 83?
No.
80.
No, 78.
Ah,
4-5. No clean sweep.
Not bad, though.
Well, they're all.
Not bad.
Not bad, yeah, you won that.
Okay, good, which means I get more Deerhurst. Next time.
We delve deeper into Deerhurst.
Do you want to
nominate? Which is what all the surf fans out there right now, what they're interested in.
Do you want to nominate a topic for questions next time?
Before, I do, but just for people that don't know Ted Deerhurst, we'll just give him a quick précis on who the man is.
So, he's born to a British aristocrat father, American mother. There was a sort of custody battle when he was young. His dad won and he went to Britain, but then he did a bunk and moved to California, started shredding, was on the tour. It wasn't very good. It was pretty awful. I think one year he sort of was ranked like 290th or something.
I think that was the year Martin Potter won.
Yep. But he was basically just a good guy. And he started the Excalibur Foundation for disabled kids.
So he just had loads of cash, obviously, as well.
But I think he lived out of his van and stuff and he didn't necessarily have loads of cash on it, but you know, he had had something there. And he died, unfortunately, only at age 40. Which is weird to think, he sort of died younger than we are now.
What did he die of?
Heart attack.
Oh, nice.
In a hotel room in Hawaii, so dunno. Yeah, but sad. But anyway, well done Lord Ted Deerhurst. And well done me.
Yeah, he wasn't a lord, but that's what the Aussies just nicknamed him, because he spent a fair bit of time on the Gold Coast.
He was a Viscount.
Mm.
Okay, Ben, well, one of the more controversial parts of the show, and you know, they're all kind of controversial, even from the point of view of, are they even remotely entertaining, but Sacred Cow, Oki, has been slaughtered. He's been sent to the abattoir. The mercy lever's been pulled. Who else has been sorted? France. yeah. slaughtered Southwest France, that region.
Yeah, the Mercy Lever.
You said it was an overrated closeout. It's been slaughtered. It's been made into mincemeat and chops and oxtail soup, various things. The Vans Triple Crown, well, that avoided slaughter. It's been put out to pasture. It's chewing on that sweet green, green grass. And it's your turn, Mundy. What would you like to nominate as a sacred cow for this episode?
Hello. Are you sitting comfortably?
Tyler Steele.
Ooh.
The cinematographer.
Ooh, filmer. Taylor, if you're listening, sorry about Ben. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Well, okay. The thing about Tyler Steele is that there was a time when he was very influential. He obviously chronicled the Momentum Generation, Kelly Slater, Shane Dorian, Ross Williams, blah blah blah.
Benji Weatherly, Justin the Killer Poston.
And so he was
great. Jason Weatherly.
Kalani Robb,
etc.
And that was at that time. It was groundbreaking. All he did, he just happened to be on the beach when one of the most exciting bunch of surfers had come through. They were all surfing together, all having fun, and he just filmed them, and he just showed their surfing, and he put a fucking smashing punk rock soundtrack on.
Shit music.
Great. Awesome. I fucking grew up on those movies. You know, I think they were fucking brilliant. That's fine. Right. Since then, though, on the basis of that, which is 1990, right? That's when they came out, I think. I mean, that was like, I mean, I can't even count how long ago that was. Like 20, is that 25 years ago, Paul? Shit, we're old. But anyway, that's 25 years ago he did that. And ever since, he's been making movies. And they're all, I think, pretty poor. He's got more money, more budget. He still gets the best of the world. The latest one, he had Kelly Slater. He had John Florence, Stephanie Gilmore, Russ. I mean, he gets the biggest names in the business.
Mm.
And he churns out this fucking tripe. And I'm just thinking, well, how long can one man still peddle his fucking credibility based on the Momentum Generation?
What's the new one called?
We should
have seen it.
Yeah, I have. I've seen it. I watched it. The Two of Us or something?
It's definitely not called Just the Two of Us. That's a Will Smith song, is it?
I don't know. The new one, I should.
Just, that's the sound of Google in the background. If you can hear Ben's sort of four-year-old MacBook Pro. Yeah,
Proximity?
That's it, yeah. It's
similar to I didn't look it up.
All I've really got to say, I'm not going to necessarily defend that he shouldn't be consigned to slaughter, but I'll just say this, more for you for watching it then. What do you think it was going to be like? When you went sat down to watch Proximity, did you think, oh, this is going to be like watching sort of a Baz Luhrmann movie, or are you thinking, oh, this is going to be like Wes Anderson, or... What do you think it's going to be like? It's obviously just going to be
barely late.
That's your fault.
No, isn't it? My expectations were pretty low, but you're still thinking, well, he's got these amazing surfers. He's got a huge amount of budget. Surely this could be okay. But it wasn't, and all his other films, I think, recently, we've been through this before, Slipping Jet Streams or whatever that was called. Is that what it was called? Yep. And that was like a tourist ad that you see on an airline. Billy fucking, one guy, Mundy, I mean, he did a better job than I'll ever do.
Yeah, well I just come with that and say that I did get a mention in the credits. Sipping Jetstream, Paul at Surf Europe, cheers Taylor.
So anyway, I just think that he hasn't, once the Momentum Generation was a quarter of a century ago, he's still kind of got this cred and I don't see where it's coming from. And yeah, it's a bit like a sacred cow. He's got this reputation that's there and it's still getting movies made, still making and breaking careers, and I don't really see how. So I want him fucking mercy levered.
Yeah, fair.
Sell you, I'm going to burn that celluloid.
Fair enough. One thing I'd say that probably maybe fucked him over more than anything else, and I hate to sort of sound like a kind of one policy, kind of bang one drum, but it's Machado that fucked him, basically. It's basically... I mean, I thought he was doing, apart from the music, he was doing fine with what he did before. And then he went The Drifter, I think, or whatever that was called, that thing. That was sort of, was that him even?
Yeah, I think
probably.
That was him.
I think that's where it's gone wrong.
Rob, you reckon the mob?
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, it's classic Machado again, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you and Machado, you can just stick him in anywhere to think that he's wrecking the world. But yeah, so anyway,
that's the sound of the captain of the podcast commentary opening a bottle of Heineken with his Swarovski binoculars that I brought for bird watching. Anyway, carry on.
So yeah, I've done. I don't have to say anymore. I mean, I'm surprised that you still keep defending him.
Yeah, no, I'm not defending Ben. I'm with you. Actually, I'm not even gonna have to flip a coin. He's in the fucking abattoir. He's gone. Sorry, Steel.
See you later.
Yeah, bye. Well, this is the post-show debrief. Ben's actually left the island. He's flown on an EasyJet flight back to London's Gatwick Airport and left me holding the baby. So just going to sign off the show. No Moment Monday this month. Sorry about that. Promise it'll be back next time out. I'm Paul Evans saying enjoy yourselves. It's later than you think. And he was Ben Mundy, and he probably would have said something very much like,
get a dog right up ya.
Der Surf Europa Podcast.